Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Pat Boyle with Blackhawks insider Charlie Romeliotis. We're reacting to day one of Blackhawks training camp. Our first time seeing Jonathan Toews on the ice since the bubble in Edmonton. You'll hear from the captain on the issues he dealt with over the last year that kept him off the ice in the NHL last season. We'll hear from Patrick Kane. Yes, he's dealing with a nagging injury, but he is excited about all the changes that were made in the offseason. And we'll give you our initial take on what we saw as far as Seth Jones on the ice. Tyler Johnson, maybe a surprise. He's a centering Kane and DeBrincat's line. And we'll discuss Marc-Andre Fleury and what we saw in the crease at both ends of the ice. It's all coming up next on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Charlie, the first day of Blackhawks training camp 2021 is in the books. And let's start with the biggest takeaway. And I'll just, as we were sitting there at Fifth Third Arena, it was the first time that I looked at the ice, saw Toews and Kane out there, and realized this is a completely different team than the one I've covered for over a decade. It's just, last year, certainly Toews wasn't a part of the equation. It was a youth movement and trying to figure out who was even capable of playing at the NHL level. But, you know, gone is Duncan Keith. Gone is Brent Seabrook. Andrew Shaw. It seemed like since 2009, there's always been kind of a cup core that's been hanging around. It's down to two guys, and even they realize that this is a completely different team. And that there is that youth movement that has taken place. And now you sprinkle in accomplished veterans, like Seth Jones and Marc-Andre Fleury. And it has kind of changed the dynamic and the expectations and the feeling about this franchise, at least for me.
Yeah, and even Patrick Kane had mentioned it as well in his video conference call when he was – asked how weird this is, him and Toews are basically the only veterans from those cup teams. And he mentioned, even though Brent Seabrook didn't play last year, he was always around. And he mentioned his stupid little jokes that he's going to miss inside the locker room. So yeah, my biggest takeaway, Pat, there were so many storylines. Like on one end of the ice, I was looking at, oh, Jonathan Toews is back. That's great. And you're assessing how Toews looks. And then on the other end of the rink, you're like, oh yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury is here. And then you're assessing how he's doing. And then you turn around and you're like, oh, Seth Jones is, and then there's Alex DeBrincat and there's Kirby Dach and there's Lucas Reichel. Like, I felt like there were so many storylines that I could have been following that I couldn't even track on the first day. Whereas last year, you're looking at the Canes, you're looking at the DeBrincats, you're seeing how they look. But there were just a ton of storylines to follow, and it was so hard to just keep up on the first day.
No question, this is going to be the most competitive training camp the Blackhawks have had. You have to go back to maybe going in, and they didn't have a training camp in 2013. Remember, that was the lockout shortened, and we had guys that were playing over in Europe like Kane was, and certain guys training on their own at Johnny's. So I can't remember where I've seen 18 to 20 forwards competing for you know, the top 12 or the top 13 or 14 that they end up keeping. It's going to be fantastic. So because there's so many storylines, let's talk about kind of the first and the first time we've seen Jonathan Toews on the ice since the Blackhawks were in the bubble in Edmonton. Your thoughts on what you saw from Jonathan and then also what he had to say afterwards.
Yeah, well, it was great to see him, obviously. He obviously sent out that video message earlier in the summer that he's back in Chicago and he's skating and he's training and he's been here for the last several months. So this isn't anything, you know, he's trying to get back up to speed with everything. But yeah, it was just nice. Honestly, you know, I just wrote about this as well. When you hear his teammates and the coaches and the general manager, they're talking about Jonathan Toews. They're happier for him as the human that he's back into his element rather than the boost that he provides this team, right? And I don't know if you asked the question to Jonathan about, you know, the weirdness of the leadership now. Like he said before day one of training camp, it was quiet in the locker room because there's just so many new faces. And Toews is basically coming into this new locker room because he wasn't in last year's locker room. So it's basically like he skipped two teams for two locker rooms to be in. So yeah, it was nice to see him. I wasn't really paying close attention to how he looked. He just looked normal to me, right? And I think as training camp progresses is when we're going to see how his conditioning level is at once things start to ramp up.
You know, there's like two things that are going on. There's Jonathan, the human being who's dealt with an illness, dealt with a litany of things off the ice that caused him to miss the thing that he loves so much. It has given him some perspective too, missing that much action. And then you've got the hockey side of Jonathan, you know, trying to get back to the form he was in a couple of years ago, trying to, you know, fit him with teammates that he hasn't seen in a while and guys that he has never seen before, at least on his team. So, you know, it was I thought it was a very introspective Toews that took the podium. Let's start with the health issues and let's hear from Jonathan Toews on the issues he dealt with that caused him to miss all of last season.
I don't know. I think it was just you know, just a lot of things kind of coming unglued. You know, your normal routine, the normal people you're surrounded by, the usual things you kind of expect out of yourself, and just, I don't know, I think we all have habits and routines in our day that we just kind of rely on to find some sense of normalcy and consistency in our lives, and when none of that was there, you kind of feel like you're in outer space a little bit sometimes. But I think as hard as that was a good thing to kind of get away and really sort through that and figure out how I was going to get back to being myself and being a hockey player again, which is what I love to do. And so, yeah, it was definitely a challenge to be away for that long. And I think that was the number one thing.
Yeah, I think so. How good did it feel to just be out there? How much did you miss just this?
Well, it's the little things that I think after a while you start to complain and you start to, you know, just focus on the negative and you know, I think for a lot of years we've had some success here in Chicago and, you know, then you have all these expectations and you just tend to think about all the good things that have happened and so it's at this point I don't take it for granted as much and definitely very thankful just to be out on the ice and be around the guys and just the little things that are so great about our game. I think you get in touch with that again.
Well, also, have you had to change your routine and how do you manage yourself in the future?
Well, like I was telling Mark, I think it's just being present and waking up in the morning and just seeing what your body's capable and you know, ready to do. And when you kind of hit walls that come up unexpectedly, it's hard not to get frustrated again. And I think that's a big thing that I've learned to deal with is always having that expected result and that those expectations in your mind. And when you don't quite meet them, it's kind of hard. So it's just kind of being present and taking it one day at a time.
And Charlie, you know, I think, you know, he was asked a few times, you know, about specifics about the the COVID situation he went through, how he felt, the long haul effect, what are the diagnosis, all these different things. And he kind of just said, there's so many things that you put together here. And he's just kind of taking it day by day. He wakes up and says, you know, I know I feel better today than I did X number of months ago. And the tiredness he felt after the first workout with his teammates, and he said he was tired, is a completely different exhaustion that he experienced when he was, you know, dealing with the medical issues. So, you know, he's taking this one day at a time. He's got expectations. There's times that, you know, he has hit roadblocks and it's frustrated him, but I think he's appreciative that he's in this spot, that he has an opportunity to get back to a spot and a sport that he loves dearly.
Yeah, he called it a good kind of tired this time around after the first day of training camp, where they're huffing and puffing and all those guys are, you know, probably in the same boat as well, coming after a long summer and trying to get their legs underneath them. But yeah, for Jonathan specifically, I do think the Blackhawks and the organization, both the organization and the player, are taking a cautious approach here by Jonathan Toews, not even saying like, yes, I'm going to be ready for opening night. Like, he's just taking it day by day, even though the goal is for him to be ready by October 13th. They're not going to publicly declare that he will be, because he's just going to wake up, see how he's feeling. He's going to continue to put one foot in front of the other and just see, take that slow progression as they lead into that opening night. And hopefully, you know, I feel like all signs are pointing that he will be ready if he continues on this path.
So we saw Toews out there for day one with Brandon Hagel and Kubalik. So I don't think that was really too much of a surprise. And like you said, he's trying to get back into, you know, conditioning form. You know, I thought he looked fine, just like most of the guys did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think everyone kind of looked the same at the end of the drills, because everyone had their sticks on their knees, like they're huffing and puffing. And so I honestly don't think there was anything out of the ordinary for Jonathan. And I think Jeremy Colleton had mentioned it as well. Like, camp is going to get harder and harder moving forward, especially when there are multiple practices in a row and they're long practices. And then there are preseason games. That's when they're going to have to start monitoring, or they're going to monitor Toews' status, how he's responding to the elevated and the heightened the practices, the intensity of it.
And again, we'll be there to monitor all the training camp workouts at Fifth Third Arena, let you know what we're seeing with the Jonathan Toews. And I'm sure we'll hear from the captain along the way of how he feels he's progressing. But again, they're taking this day by day. They seem to be conservative, kind of setting those conservative timelines, or not like even setting timelines. They anticipate, and everybody's hoping he's ready to go for the opening night, but nobody is kind of etching that in stone right now. So, you know, speaking of medical situations, we also saw Patrick Kane for the first time. And, you know, it's come out recently about the nagging injury that he has been dealing with, that's been undisclosed, you know, for a long period of time. He says it hasn't completely healed as of yet, but he's optimistic that it will not affect him long term. What did you take away from our conversation with Patrick and what you saw from Kane on the ice on day one?
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I'm a little concerned, and I know they're downplaying the situation, but it sounds like this is going back to last season. During the exit interviews, Patrick Kane said that this issue he's been dealing with this since even before the Edmonton bubble. He was like leading right up to it. So the fact that he went all year last year kind of working through this injury, and then I remember talking to him at exit interviews, he said he hopes to get it fixed in the summer and not have to worry about it this year. Well, it's still lingering, and I know he said he felt good after the first day of practice, and I know he said he's not concerned about it, but I do think this is something to monitor moving forward, given the fact that the NHL is going back to an 82-game schedule. And if the Blackhawks also have playoff aspirations, like that could be a long season for Patrick Kane and the physical toll that it might take on his body. So I think I might be a little bit more concerned than maybe the organization and the player are making it out to be. But We'll see where it goes. Like, it didn't feel like it impacted Kane's game a ton last year, but you could definitely tell towards the final few weeks of the regular season that he started taking more maintenance days, and he started you could just tell he wasn't quite right. So we're just gonna have to monitor that storyline all year long.
Wasn't he sort of asked specifically whether, you know, he would undergo a procedure to fix it, and did you get the impression that for now they've decided to for him not to have any type of arthroscopic surgery or surgery, whatever it might be, and that they're just trying to handle this nagging injury without having to go under the knife?
Yeah, I think Patrick was asked about it, and he really declined to get into specifics. But Stan Bowman had mentioned before Patrick was speaking about the Kane injury, and he mentioned that not a lot of players like to elect for surgery because it's feels like a longer recovery time, and sometimes it can get dicey when you're having surgical repairs because you don't know. I mean, we're seeing it with the, you know, we saw it with Connor McDavid's leg injury a couple years ago. Like, he could have had a couple screws in his knee, but he's like, no, I don't want to do surgery. And he was right in not doing surgery. So I think the player always wants to try to avoid surgery unless it's really needed. And so I think that's, again, Stan wasn't necessarily talking about Patrick's situation specifically, but in general, players kind of like to avoid it because it's a more longer term injury.
Well, look, nobody knows their body better than Patrick, and he's earned the benefit of the doubt from what we've seen, the commitment that he's made with his body, all the things that go into his preparation for a season. We know that, you know, he doesn't waver from that. And so, you know, he's got his best interests in mind. He's got, you know, his Hall of Fame career in mind as well. And you know, he knows what's best. So we will trust. But you've talked about minutes, and I think the one thing you're going to see this year that maybe we didn't see last year, and some of that was circumstance, you know, not playing the 82-game schedule, and then, you know, being undermanned at times. This forward core that we saw on the ice on Thursday looks a hell of a lot different than the forward core that we saw on the ice last year. And, you know, it was times where they would dress seven defensemen, and the kind of the game plan was, you know, well, we got an off day tomorrow and maybe an off day the next day. And so Kane's going to see a lot of ice time. So, you know, maybe that type of game plan or the minutes that used to be handed off to 88, which he never shies away from, maybe there'll be some pause when you think about that and think about the, you know, the longevity of how that's going to impact him and whatever this nagging injury might be.
Yeah, for sure. And I know a lot has been made about load management lately and whether the Blackhawks should try to, especially with Jonathan Toews specifically, given what he dealt with last season. For me, I don't know if I would dip into the games. Like I would try to, we saw what the Blackhawks did when Joel Quenneville was here. He would give Marian Hossa those maintenance days during practice, and he told Marian, I just need you for the games. You know what I mean? So, like, that's why I could see the problem, if we're talking about Patrick Kane's case specifically, is he loves to be on the ice. Like, he even talks about, I like to be on the ice a lot during the summer because that's how he feels he could be at the top of his game. So I don't know if he necessarily would benefit from that, like, personally, but I would try to scale back the practice time more than I would try to scale back the minutes in games.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way the NHL handles load management. We kind of, you know, kicked that conversation around a little bit with Stan Bowman, and, you know, we see it in the NBA. We see it certainly in Major League Baseball, players getting time off or going on the IL. That is not the norm in the National Hockey League. If your heart's beating and you're standing upright, you're going to play, and no matter what. And as you mentioned, you know, Patrick is one of those guys that just, he loves being on the ice, whether that's a morning skate, a practice, a bag skate, or an actual NHL game. So, you know, that's something that they're going to have to take into consideration. How about who we saw him out there? I thought it was interesting that Tyler Johnson was centering the Kane DeBrincat line. Were you surprised at all that it wasn't Kirby Doc?
Yeah, I was. But then when I thought about it, you know, I thought, man, this is actually a pretty good idea, because we were talking at Fifth Third Arena how, remember when Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin had that unreal chemistry and it really didn't matter who that center was? That's how I feel Kane and DeBrincat can be. Like, maybe you put a guy like Tyler Johnson in there so that it really balances out the lineup. And I know it would be weird to see Kirby Doc or Jonathan Toews as the third line center, but maybe there is some sort of balance idea that you can get from it, rather than overloading the top two lines with Kane, DeBrincat, Doc, Toews, Kubalik, and Hagel, and then you're trying to figure out who your third line is going to be. But I imagine that's more experimentation than, you know, hey, like, we think Tyler Johnson is going to be the favorite to be in between them. I think they're just trying to get chemistry down, but I think it's a solid idea to kind of get Tyler Johnson in with DeBrincat and Kane to see what kind of magic they can form together.
You happen to ask Patrick about all the off-season changes. I thought it was really telling that, you know, Stan Bowman kind of gave Patrick the heads up that they were interested in Seth Jones and that they were considering pursuing him in the off-season. Here's Patrick Kane on all the changes that were made this past summer.
Yeah, I mean, just excitement, you know. I think, you know, I personally was, like, really excited about the opportunity of getting Seth Jones. And that was something that Stan had kind of mentioned to me, that they were going to go after him, especially with him having 1 year left on his deal. And, you know, it's amazing when they mention something like that and they go and get it done. You know, it's a good feeling. So he's going to help us so much. You know, he's a guy that is tough to play against. I know that from playing against him a bunch of times. But he can stop plays and then he can get the puck up. You know, he can make a play after he stops the play. So that's going to help us a lot. Obviously, you know, he's had great offensive numbers in the past as well. So I think he's a guy that you're going to be able to find late in the rush and, you know, on the power play. So excited to play with him. And then, you know, he had a Stanley Cup champion and Tyler Johnson back-to-back, you know, bring that experience, and a guy who's got a lot of speed up the middle. So that's something I've always enjoyed playing with. Fleury, I mean, his reputation just speaks for himself, you know, three-time Stanley Cup champion as well. So it'll be fun to shoot on him in practice. He seems very competitive, so that'll be fun. And, yeah, so they did a great job. Obviously made some big moves to make us, you know, a relevant team again.
You could see, Charlie, the excitement on his face. We call him, you know, among, you know, the most, you know, dynamic player in Chicago and one of the most dynamic players in the National Hockey League and a first ballot Hall of Famer in the whole nine yards. We also say he's a hockey nerd. He knows this game inside and out. He tracks it each and every day. And when he says, I know what it's like to go up against Seth Jones and how difficult it was and is for me when I used to face him all the time, it's really exciting to now have him on my side.
Yeah, and even Connor Murphy mentioned it as well. He was like, man, it was funny to see our forwards struggling against Seth Jones. Like, imagine what the NHL or the opponents are going to be like when they go up against him, knowing that Seth Jones is now on their team. And yeah, and I asked Patrick that specifically because nobody is more competitive than Patrick Kane. And you know, these last few years have been really hard on him, I'm sure, personally, because of that competitive nature and the fact that they've been spoiled over the last 10 years of all these deep playoff runs and the three Stanley Cups. And so I was just curious to see what his reaction was as all this was unfolding during the offseason. And it was interesting that he said Seth Jones was the guy that he was really excited for, not the fact that it was Marc-Andre Fleury, because I think Marc-Andre Fleury might have been the last guy that he mentioned. It was like, oh, yeah, and we got Fleury too, like as if, you know, he was like a throw-in. So, yeah, I think the Seth Jones acquisition, you can see that one was the big piece to really put the Blackhawks maybe back into contention.
By the way, so we're sitting there watching Seth Jones. He was paired with Jake McCabe. Again, this is day one, so we're not, like, just because Tyler Johnson is with with Kane and DeBrinket on day one. That doesn't mean that's what we're going to see opening night in Colorado. Same with the, you know, it's not in stone that McCabe and Jones are going to be the top D pairing. But to watch Jones glide around the ice with that big stride and then see some of the drills and see his propensity to, you know, get going offensively and almost being, you know, the fourth forward out there. It's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, a defenseman that is capable both defensively and offensively, but that has really that gear and to watch him skate while everybody was sucking wind and it looked like he could have gone for another 3 hours.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And he almost played that much when a couple years ago with Columbus in the playoffs, where he set a record with, what was it, like 69 or 68 minutes in a
yeah. playoff
game? And he was asked about it afterwards. He's like, how are you feeling? He's like, I feel fine. It was like, it's like Duncan Keith all over again. But this guy has, like, his strides are so long. And, like, he's not a fast player, but his strides are so long that, like, he can get from one end of the ice to the other so quickly and then have enough energy to back check because he didn't really exert a ton of energy to get from one side because his strides are so long. So, yeah, we're going to see that on full display with the Blackhawks this year. And I think the big thing about this as well is they can pair him with a Jake McCabe or someone that's more defensively responsible so that he can be that offensive generator, similar to what we've seen Duncan Keith in years past, where he's successful when he's paired with a defensive specialist. And we saw him kind of get off track a little bit when he got paired with the rookies, like an Adam Boqvist, because he then had to cover for those rookies and he couldn't really play his style. So I think Seth Jones is going to benefit from that, playing with a guy like McCabe.
By the way, the other pairings on day one in the first group, Kalnuk was with DeHaan, Stillman was with Connor Murphy, and Beaudin was with Caleb Jones. So, and I did mention that Johnson was with Kane and DeBrinket as far as the lines. When I told you that Taves was with Hagel and Kubalik, Carpenter was with Kara and Dylan Strome, and Kirby Dach was with Kurashev and Reichel. What did you think of seeing Reichel? I know you watched him in Minnesota last weekend at the showcase. Again, it was day one, but what did you think?
Yeah, I definitely expect there was so much happening that it was so hard to ISO on one guy. And so I definitely expect to ISO more on some of the players, and especially once we get into the scrimmages as well. But I thought the fact that Reichel was starting off with Kirby Dach and with Philip Kurashev, like, that to me tells me they want to pair him with skilled guys so that they could bring out the best in him and they could see. It wasn't like, let's stash him on the fourth line and maybe he could be our 12th forward. It's like, no. Like, when he's with the Blackhawks, they want him playing a fairly big role. So, I didn't think he looked out of place at all, but we'll see how his progression goes as training. I'm interested to see how he does in the scrimmage. That's when I'm really going to be focusing on what he does more than really any other player, because we already know what those players are.
We heard last week from Bill Daly saying that he thought maybe 10 to 15 total NHL players would be not vaccinated to start the season. And the Blackhawks were asked about it, and they are 100% vaccinated. So from the competitive advantage of dealing with COVID-19 protocols, they are a group that is 100% vaccinated. There, it was broken down into three groups, and you were able to talk to Jeremy Colleton on Thursday. I had to exit for some NFL duties, but he was asked about the makeup of those groups. Should we read into anything of who was with the primarily the guys you expect to see opening night and groups two and three?
Yeah, I definitely think we shouldn't read too much into groups B and C. I do think that there was the tier, the group A was the main group, and that's where it started out with. But I do think B and C were the Rockford guys. And so the fact that Adam Gaudette was in group C, you know, don't read too much into the fact that he has so much that he has to work his way up to group B and then C. Like, I do feel – but, Pat, we were mentioning – this as well. I did think it was indicative of who they started out with, group A, where Adam Gaudette, Alex Nylander, Henrik Bjorkstrom, those are the guys in the second group, the second and third group, and it feels like they're on the outside looking in to start, and they're the ones that are going to have to earn their way up. Now, you know, I don't know if the groups are going to be exactly the same on Friday when this podcast is going to drop, or when you might be listening, so there might be a couple tweaks, but that's what really jumped out to me is, okay, Gaudette, Nylander, Bjorkstrom, those guys are starting in the second and third groups, and they're the ones that are going to have to really work their way into the main group.
And let's kind of close or finish up with the goaltending situation. Just to see Marc-Andre Fleury out there, you know, with the old school pads. I don't know if that's an homage to Tony O, but, you know, we saw him. We've seen social media clips of him working out this offseason. To see him on day one, and even to talk to Patrick Kane afterwards, and Patrick saying, like, he's a competitor. And they have talked about their head-to-head meetings over the years. And they're two guys that play completely different positions, there's a lot of similarities. They're rink rats. They like being out there. And I got to think Marc-Andre Fleury taking practices and training camp serious not only bodes well for him coming off the best trophy year, but bodes well for this team because they're always taking on a top-flight goalie at the top of his game, giving maximum effort.
Yeah, and he also provides some fun in a practice environment, right? Like when your goalie is laughing and doing all these, you know, he spins in the crease and he does all these fun things. That calmness and that comfortability from Fleury during a practice, I feel like will rub off on the teammates. And it's kind of funny too, Pat, because you look at the last couple of years, we're watching training camps and it's like Corey Crawford and it's Robin Leonard and it's Marc-Andre Fleury. And it's like, I was staring at Marc-Andre Fleury today during practice. I was like, how is this guy here? Like, how is he on this ice right now? Like, how did we get to a point where a Hall of Fame, the second winningest goaltender of all time, is a Chicago Blackhawk? And so that will absolutely rub off on guys in a game setting, but also in during practice when they go up against him every day.
And you gave up next to nothing to get him.
Well, actually, it was nothing because Vegas already bought out Mikael Hakkinen. Right. So it was essentially nothing.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, you know, Hawks fans, I know you're out there. Charlie and I see you as far as your posts on social media and responding to – biggest takeaway from us is there is genuine excitement with this team. There's optimism from guys that, you know, I look at who are members of this team, and you can tell by body language. Again, this is the first time we've been able to interact with a player in the same room and not do it over Zoom. And I'm not saying this is like it used to be as far as reading somebody and having a chat in the dressing room or the locker room after a practice, but it's a little bit better than doing it virtually. And you could read from the players we talked to that this isn't the way it's felt the last few years. And if you can glean something from a Patrick Kane soundbite or his body language about his excitement, I think there's reason for Blackhawks fans to feel much better about this team than they have in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Colliton said it the best. He was like, usually veterans aren't really excited for training camp. He's like, I think the veterans here are excited for training camp given what this roster looks like right now and what they have come, you know, what this team has been the last few years where they've been kind of retooling their roster. So, yeah, there you can feel the excitement from the veterans that have missed playing meaningful hockey going into a year.
He's our Blackhawks insider, Charlie Romeliotis. You can catch his work at NBCSportsChicago.com. You got to follow him on Twitter and Instagram as well. He'll be all over our Blackhawks pre- and post-game coverage as well this upcoming season. Charlie, great stuff. I'll see you at Fifth Third Arena. And that's a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Thank you for listening. As always, don't forget to rate us, and we'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? It's staggering. That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com. When you buy Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef, better than organic chicken, and more, delivered quickly and safely to your door. Don't play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use the code Chicago for $20 off and free express shipping.